Well, it is good to be in the house of the Lord this evening. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel in chapter 16. And we'll be revisiting verse 8 again this evening. We were there a few weeks ago. We'll come back and grab a couple thoughts from there again this evening. Look to the Lord in word of prayer. Our dear gracious Heavenly Father, we're thankful to be back in your house again this evening, assembled together in thy presence with your people. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you'd bless our time together. Certainly enjoyed the two songs that we've sang, and now the time spent in your word, we trust will be glorious, that you'll open our hearts and give us understanding of thy word. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse 8 we read, "Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee, and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becomest mine." We want to consider tonight the covenant that he entered into with her. No, we've touched on it in the past when we were in this verse, but got them into a covenant relationship. He brought them into a covenant relationship with himself. This poor infant, and she was a poor infant, deserted. Yes, deserted, cast in the wilderness to die. Destitute. Think about that. What can an infant do for itself? Not a thing. It's in the verses preceding this, the umbilical cord wasn't even cut. They weren't washed. They weren't salted to cleanse. Wasn't swaddled in nice soft blanket. Had no love shown to it whatsoever. And was cast into the wilderness. But what we've now seen is this: she is now exalted. She's exalted to, according to this verse, a noble marriage. He covered her with his skirt, thus covering her nakedness. He swore unto her and entered into covenant with her. All this was done, this covenant that he entered into with her, was done at Mount Sinai. When when the covenant between God and Israel was sealed, when it was ratified, shall we say. And then, thou becamest mine. She became his. She became his wife. We had looked previously, verse 7, seen how that she had grown into a beautiful young lady. And he had gave her ornaments upon her. Be looking more at the things that he gave to her after, which seems to be a kind of as a dowry or a wedding gift or however you want to call it, that he gave unto her. But going back of Exodus and just refreshing our memories of what took place back there, in the 19th chapter, in verse 4, God says to her, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before them their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. And this is before he started giving them his covenant. In the 20th chapter, he begins to give them his covenant, his laws, and his commandments by which they were to live by on this covenant relationship. And when he got done that, those thunderings from the mount, they didn't want God speaking to them personally anymore. They wanted God to speak to Moses and then Moses to speak to them. Well, now go with me over to the 24th chapter. And we come to the conclusion of things of sort. And in verse 1, down through verse 8 we read, and he said unto Moses, come up unto the Lord, thou, Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord. They shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him. And Moses came and told the people and all the words of the Lord and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord has said will we do. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning and builded an altar under the hill and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he set young men of the children of Israel which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar, and he took the book of the covenant, that book which he wrote the words of the Lord in, and read in the audience of the people, and they said, all that the Lord hath said will we do and be obedient. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, Behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. And thus the covenant was ratified. The covenant was sealed, made sure by that sprinkling of the blood. But this is the marriage ceremony between God and Israel. God called them His people. He called them His people and Himself the God of Israel. Look with me at the book of Leviticus. The book of Leviticus in chapter 26. And look here at verse 12. And he says, And I will walk among you and will be your God, and ye shall be my people. Here he says, You'll be my people and I'll be your God. That's the way God intended it. That's the way God wanted it. Israel was going to be His people. He was going to be their God. He had taken them unto Himself in marriage, in a marriage relationship. Look with me back at Genesis in chapter 17. Genesis in chapter 17. In this 17th chapter of the book of Genesis, Abram is now 90 years old and still no Isaac. Ishmael is about 13 years of age at this time, but still no Isaac. The Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. I am El Shaddai. I am the Almighty God. There is none else beside me. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Now, come down to verse 7. So it was here that God revealed Himself to Abram as El Shaddai, as God Almighty. And now in verse 7 He says, And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. He's going to be God. They're going to be His people. This covenant He's talking about here is the covenant of circumcision. Now, the covenant of this physical circumcision in their was to be a sign of what had taken place in their heart. You see, God redeemed Abraham. When did God redeem Abraham? Well, He brought him forth out of Ur of the Chaldees. And in the 15th chapter of the book of Genesis, it says that Abram believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And because Abram believed God, and it was counted unto him righteousness, because he believed God, he obeyed God. He obeyed the commands of God. He obeyed this covenant of circumcision in the flesh. And you can read through that 17th chapter and see how that his whole household was circumcised. Be quiet. Quite sore for many days for an older man, but they circumcised the eighth day on an infant wouldn't be a big deal. But for a man the age of Abraham, and then Ishmael was 13 years of age, and then the servants that were in his house, and they were all circumcised. But Abram believed God. And therefore he obeyed God and did the commands of God. Abram believed God concerning a son Isaac, to be born unto him. Therefore he obeyed God, was obedient unto God. And we see in time Isaac came just as God had said that he would. Now, turn with me to Exodus chapter 3. So that was God's promise to Abram. Not only did Abram believe God and therefore he obeyed God, but Isaac believed God and therefore he obeyed God, and Jacob believed God and therefore he obeyed God. But in the book of Exodus in chapter 3 in verse 6, here Moses is out tending his father-in-law's flock, and he comes to this bush, and there's a fire in the bush. The angel of the Lord. But the bush is not being consumed. The bush is not even being burned. And so Moses is going to turn aside. Did I say Abram the first time? I meant Moses. Moses is going to turn aside, and he's going to see why this bush is not being burned. And God speaks to him, Moses, 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 go not thither. Take off your shoes, for the ground thou standest on is holy ground. Verse 6, he said, moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face. He was afraid to look upon God. Here he reveals to Moses that he's the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Look at the sixth chapter now. In the sixth chapter, verse 7. And here he tells Moses to tell the children of Israel, verse 7, and I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. So here God states to Moses, you tell the people that they're going to be my people, and I'm going to be your God. Listen. Those to whom God gives eternal life, it is by covenant. It is by the covenant of His blood, and it's a covenant of grace. It's a covenant of grace. Turn with me to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew in chapter 26. And look with me here at verse 28. Jesus is here seated with the 11 apostles, Judas having left, and he's instituting his remembrance supper. He said in verse 28, he said, "For this is my blood of the covenant, of the New Testament, of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sin." This cup, this wine that is in this cup, it represents, it pictures my blood of the New Testament, of the new covenant, the covenant of grace. My blood, symbolizing the covenant of grace. Turn with me now to 2 Corinthians. It's going to expand on these covenants just a little bit. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And look with me here at verse 6. "Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament," able ministers of the new covenant, the covenant of Jesus' blood, the covenant of grace. Paul here is saying that he and those and those Corinthians that were saved were are ministers of the new covenant, the covenant of the blood of Jesus, which is a covenant of grace. "Not of the letter," not of the letter, not that old covenant, which was the letter of the law, the keeping of the letter of the law, not that old covenant, but of the Spirit. The new covenant, the New Testament is by the Spirit of God. The Spirit, it quickeneth, it maketh alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. John chapter 6 and verse 63. Ephesians 2, 1, "For by grace are..." Now I got verse 8 in my head and now I can't come up with verse 1. "And you hath he quickened." The Spirit of God. "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." So it's not of the letter, not of that old covenant, which was of the letter of law, but of the Spirit. "For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life." Listen, Abraham, how was he saved? Was he saved by the letter? No, he was saved by the Spirit. He was saved through belief. He believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. How was Isaac saved? He was saved the same way. He wasn't saved by the letter of the law, but because they were saved, because they believed God and it was counted to them for righteousness, because they believed God, they obeyed God. And they did that which God commanded them. And Jacob the same. And so, Israel was redeemed. She was redeemed out of Egypt. They believed God. And because they believed God, they killed the Passover lamb. And they sprinkled it on the doorpost and on the lintels, because they believed God. God redeemed them out of Egypt, brought them out of Egypt. And then he brought them into a covenant relationship with himself. He married them. He brought them into a state of wedlock. And it is so thus tonight. We're not We're not redeemed by the letter of the law. We're not made ministers of the gospel. We're not made ministers of the new covenant, of the covenant of grace. Not by the keeping of the law, not by the letter of the law, but by the Spirit. We've been made children of God and therefore ministers of the gospel of grace, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, this covenant of grace, this covenant of the blood of Jesus, which is a covenant of grace, is confirmed with an oath. It's confirmed with an oath that we might have strong consolation. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews in chapter 6. Verse 9. We'll begin reading with verse 9. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed to toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Full assurance of hope. We have a hope. We have a hope that is steadfast and sure. We that are saved, we have a hope that is to the end. You see. That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. You see, it's through faith and our patiently enduring and patiently waiting that we endure. For when God made promise to Abraham, note that, when God made promise to Abraham because he could swear by no greater, swear by himself. And that you'll find back in the 22nd chapter of the book of Genesis, and beginning with verse 17 there. You'll find this is taken from there. That's where God told Abraham that he swear by himself. He swore by himself that he would make of him a great nation. He would multiply his seed as the stars of heaven, as the sand of the sea. God told him he would swear by himself, saying, surely blessing will I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. You see, Abraham patiently endured. And he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed by. That is to those of us who are heirs of his promise. Are you an heir of his promise? If you're saved, if you're born again tonight, you're an heir of his promise. You're in a covenant relationship with him. That covenant promises us an assurance of everlasting life and an assurance of life with him. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Praise God. We have a hope that is sure and steadfast. Go with me back to the book of Genesis. Now, I reference where this was taken from in the book of Genesis, chapter 22. And look with me at verse 15. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, "By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son," you see, because Abraham believed God. Because he believed God, he obeyed God, even to the offering of his only son, Isaac, to the Lord. "That in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." Because he believed God, he was obedient to God. Look with me at Psalms, the book of Psalms, in chapter 105. And look with me here at verse 9. Notice this. Which covenant he made with Abraham, and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant. So he made a covenant with Abraham, his oath to Isaac, and confirmed it to Jacob. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you believed God, as did Abraham, as did Isaac, as did Jacob, and it was counted unto you for righteousness? If you have, you're an heir of promise, which promise is sure and steadfast, because God that promised could swear by no greater than himself, and by his word, by his oath, he promised. Thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for being in a covenant relationship with him. Shall we?